Hello, this is Denise Yon, and welcome to the Brand is Business Bites podcast. The Brand is Business Bites podcast gives you a taste of insights and information about brands, businesses, and the people who work on them. It's available on iTunes. For more stuff for your brain to chew on, please visit my website at deniseleeyon.com. Today's podcast is The Problem with Brand Valuation. We're at about the midpoint between the release of Forbes' The World's Most Valuable Brands report back in last July and Interbrand's Best Global Brands report, which is due out on September 15th. It usually gets picked up by Business Week. You know those studies which report, for example, that Coca-Cola is the world's top brand or that Google's brand value of $37.9 billion is still way off from Apple's at $57.4 billion. So I thought now would be a good time to raise a concern I have about these methodologies. But before you peg me as one of those people who make sport out of bashing these analyses, let me assure you that I see tremendous value in brand valuation. Brand valuation can be valuable. For corporate valuation purposes, being able to quantify the economic value contributed by brands versus other assets is extremely valuable. And in many cases, intangible assets like brands and intellectual property and workforce know-how are what truly differentiates a corporation and enables it to combat competitive and other attacks, so it can be helpful to measure and track their value relative to competitors and the category average. I'm also aware of the common criticisms waged against brand valuation. Their results are skewed because private companies are not included. They're misleading because they try to reduce the richness of a brand into a single number, etc., etc. As well as its misuse, the head of advertising for a leading consumer electronics firm told me her company leadership used brand valuation to evaluate the performance of her group. But even these are not my primary cause of concern. What I take issue with is a specific aspect of the valuation methodology, which seems to be present in all of the brand valuations I'm familiar with, a factor to account for the impact of brand on purchase decision, which gets applied on a category basis to each company's market value. Interbrand's method incorporates a role of brand analysis, which is described as, quote, a measurement of how the brand influences customer demand at the point of purchase. We use in-house market research to establish individual brand scores against our industry benchmarks to help us define the role a brand plays within the category. For example, we know that the role of brand is traditionally much higher in the luxury category than in the energy and utilities sector. Forbes describes this approach to incorporating category-level brand impact, saying, we allocated a percentage of net earnings to the brand based on the role brands play in each industry. Brands are crucial when it comes to beverages and luxury goods, but not so much, say, with airlines when price and convenience are more important. Even the more rigorous, albeit lesser-known, brand metric study incorporates such a factor in its modified Delphi forecasting technique, which is used to work out the percentage of the brand's value-added profits that are directly attributable to the brand. It calculates the influence of the brand on core premium profit generators, control of costs, customer relationships, for example, to determine the brand premium profit by category. For example, the portion of economic profit attributable to the brand for media titles is 80-90%. Retail, 63-67%, and energy, 45-50%. The problem with all of these category-level brand factors is that they assume brand impact is the same across the category, and brand impact is a given for the category, neither of which are safe assumptions. Brand impact varies. It's incorrect to assume that brand impact is universal within a category. Consumer decision-making is not so clear-cut. Need states play a significant role in how important a brand is. A need state is defined by a group of consumers who seek similar product benefits and attributes in a particular usage occasion. Take hospitality. Different people in different situations pay attention to brands very differently when it comes to choosing a hotel. If you're a wealthy businesswoman on an expense account, or a family with kids traveling to a foreign country, your hotel selection might be driven a lot by brand, whereas a road-tripping college student probably couldn't care less. Brand impact also varies within category, depending on whether your brand is at the high or low end. Generally speaking, brands are more important at the high end, where attributes other than price have stronger influence. You probably don't know or care what brand of cheap flip-flops you bought at the beach this summer, but you're sure to remember that your Manolo Blahniks cost you your entire paycheck. Also, brand impact isn't a given. It's incorrect to assume that the impact of a brand is static for a category. All it takes is one company to launch a serious effort to make brand make more a difference, and the dynamics of the entire category change. JetBlue made lots of people care about the brand of airlines they selected. Cuties made me more selective about the brand of tangerine I put in my shopping cart. Shoebox made my friends spend more time in the greeting card aisle. Before these brands came onto the market, their categories were driven more by distribution, but now brand plays a much greater role. And as category structure changes, brand impact changes as well. If a category is dominated by one player, like Google in search, brand probably doesn't have as much impact as it does in a highly crowded category like apparel retail. A strong challenger can either break up a monopoly and increase the role of brand in a category by giving people a choice in brands, or can make brand differentiation much less important by commoditizing the category with super low prices. Finally, as the impact of a category changes, so does the impact of brands in the category. This past June, oil company brands became a lot more salient to people when the BP well exploded. Right or wrong, I'm guessing people are now paying more attention to the gas stations they patronize. Likewise, the brand wars between Evian, Aquafina, and Dasani have probably fizzled as less people drink bottled water now. But what do you think? I mean, I understand why brand valuation firms feel a need to incorporate a measure of brand impact. They're trying to isolate the brand from the business. But until there's a more accurate, more dynamic way of accounting for brand impact, I'm afraid I can't fully endorse any of these methods. What do you think? Do current brand valuation methods appropriately account for brand impact? I'd love to hear your point of view. Please visit my blog and leave a comment. That's it for today. Thanks for listening to the Brand as Business Bites podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so your brain will always be filled with good stuff to chew on. For more information or to contact me directly, please visit my website at deniseleeyan.com. Take care and thanks again.